Teeth biting into her lower lip, she hunched over the wheel and doggedly closed in on the cloud of dust that the taxi was kicking up. Her chief, ducked down between the seats, said calmly into his wrist comm, "Use whatever force necessary to eliminate the team at the gate to the airport." The gunmen at the gate were ducking back into their own cars when the minivan came zooming up the road and hurtled through the break in the fence. An anti-tank rocket blew the first car into a blazing ball of flame, which ignited the gas tank of the second car. The double explosion masked the screams of the men roasted alive. The taxi lurched to a stop so hard Jane was thrown off the seat. One door popped open, and the driver, gun in hand, waved her out. She saw the black sedan boiling down toward them. Someone yanked her by the arm, pulling her out of the taxi. People were shooting at the sedan. Jane saw its windshield shatter and its hood go flying as the engine blew steam and the big heavy car plowed its front end into the soft billowing bare ground. A gray minivan pulled up beside it, unscathed except for muddy dirt spattered along its side. A pair of men grabbed her arms and she felt something cold and hard pressing against her temple. Everything went quiet. Jane was gasping for breath, her heart thundering in her ears. But the people around her seemed to be standing absolutely still, frozen in the harsh bluish light from the single lamp pole.
"Out of the car!" shouted the man holding the gun to her head. "Out of the car, or I blow her fucking head off!"
Nothing happened. No one moved.
"You understand English?" he yelled louder. "I said, get out of the car, now!"
Jane heard the metallic click of the pistol being cocked. The driver's door of the sedan opened and the young woman stepped out. Jane saw that she could hardly be out of her teens, slim, wearing black slacks and blouse, her hair pulled back tightly. She raised her hands to shoulder level. Jane saw from the corners of her eyes that there were at least five men leveling guns at her.
"You in the van, too," called the man with the gun. "Out!"
The four men in the van came out, slowly, reluctantly. Jane heard the high-pitched whine of the helicopter's engine starting up. Then the man beside her said,
"Scratch 'em!"
"The girl, too. All of 'em stupid. But we could have some fun with her."
The man cursed in Italian, then said,
"Have your fun, then snuff her, and make it fast."
The blaze of gunfire made Jane jump. The four men fell like scythed wheat. Jane smelled the acrid smoke from their guns. Her ears rang. The man tugged at her arm, and she realized that he had put his own gun back in his shoulder holster and was pulling her toward the helicopter. A second gunman accompanied them, cradling a vicious-looking assault rifle in his arms. Through the ringing in her ears, she heard the deeper roar of the chopper's engine. Stunned, stumbling, she let the man half-drag her to the helicopter while she looked over her shoulder at the three gunmen advancing on the lone girl. They pushed Jane into the helicopter. Her hands were trembling too hard to fasten the safety belt. The man did it for her while she stared at the crumpled bodies sprawled by their cars and the smoky pyre that still flamed out by the gate, and the three grinning men surrounding the girl by the shot-up sedan. The helicopter's engine roared up to full power, its big rotor kicking up a sandstorm as the pilot yelled,
"All strapped in! We're taking off!"
The young woman stood trembling beside the sedan, her eyes flicking from one of the leering gunmen to the other. They had all holstered their pistols as they advanced toward her.
"She's a kind of skinny,"
said one of them in English.
"Maybe we can fatten her up."
"Yeah, we'll stuff her good."
All three of them laughed. The closest one reached out for her. She brushed his hand away and struck with the heel of her palm under his chin so fast that her hand was a blur. The guy's head snapped back and he staggered, arms flailing, and fell onto his back. The other two grabbed for her, but she ducked under them, rammed her clenched hands into the groin of one of them, and rolled away. The man's eyes rolled up in his head, and his breath gushed out of him as he collapsed to the ground. The third was reaching for his pistol when the old man bashed his back with the car door, then sprang out of the car and broke the guy's neck with a single chop of the edge of his hand. By then, the young woman was sprinting for the helicopter, just starting to lift off the ground. The old man snaked a small, slim, dead-black pistol from his belt and calmly shot the two gunmen that the girl had incapacitated. For good measure, he put a round into the skull of the man he had already killed. As the helicopter began to lift off the ground, the young woman leaped as high as she could, stretching her arms to their utmost, and just managed to grab one of the landing skids. The chopper bounced and swerved under the sudden unbalanced weight.
"Hey, what?"
The pilot grappled with his controls.
"One of them's hanging on to us," yelled the man sitting beside the pilot.
The man beside Jane snarled, "Fucking idiot," and yanked his pistol from its holster. He opened the door and leaned out into the blast of wind from the rotor. The young woman was hanging onto the landing skid with one hand, staring up at him, swinging as she tried to hide beneath the helicopter's bottom.
"Bitch," muttered the gunman.
He unbuckled his seat harness, leaned out farther, and fired three shots into her face, point blank. Just as Jane, suddenly filled with flaming anger that boiled over her fear, shoved at his back with all her strength. The girl fell silently, already dead, to the ground. The gunman screamed as he plunged. Jane leaned back in her seat, a terrible smile on her pale face. 36. The old man stood, with his pistol in his hand, still smoking, his eyes wide at the sight of his daughter sprawled and broken on the ground. The mafioso who had killed her lay not more than a meter away, broken and bleeding. The helicopter dwindled into the dark night sky, carrying Jane Scanwell with it. The three other gunmen lay dead around him. He stepped past their bodies and went to the minivan where his four men lay, their bodies riddled. They died well, the old man thought. But my daughter died the best of them all. He had much to do. First, he slid back the door of the van and climbed inside. Crouching before the electronics hardware that lined one side of the van's interior, he flicked several switches. A display screen lit up, a single red dot blinking off to one side of its circular grid. The elder Japanese touched two keys, and the red dot moved to the center of the screen. Another touch, and a map appeared on the screen. It is well, he thought. My daughter succeeded in planting the tracker bug on the helicopter, and now at least we will know where they are taking the Scanwell woman. He powered up the satellite link and made his report to his superiors in Kyoto, knowing that he had to take care of the bodies of his team before the sun rose and anyone could see what had happened here. Knowing that he had really failed in his mission to protect the Scanwell woman. Knowing that as soon as the proper services were conducted for his daughter, he would take his own life as payment for his failure. Kidnapped! A bolt of almost electrical intensity raced through Dan. Nobo's face on the phone screen seemed wretched with anguish.
Abducted. Kidnapped. They took her from Paris last night.
Dan had just finished the latest of his pirate broadcasts, breaking in on evening entertainment shows in the Western Hemisphere with his abrupt warnings about the greenhouse cliff and corruption in the GEC. He felt tired, as if he had been struggling to reach the top of a hill for ages, yet still had a long, long way to go. Snow was banked against the window. The wind was howling outside, moaning down the chimney so strongly that Dan feared it would blow out their meager fire. George was squatting by the fireplace, feeding sticks while glancing over his shoulder at Dan.
Kidnapped, Dan repeated.
Not killed.
They are holding her as a hostage, said Nobo. We received a message from them this morning.
We? Who do you mean?
Gaetano spoke to Malik about it this morning.
Gaetano? The Italian?
He's come out into the open, has he?
Dan, he says they're willing to release Jane.
Malik told you that?
Yes. He gave me the message because he knows I can reach you.
Malik wants me to know that Jane's been kidnapped, said Dan.
Nice of him. Nobo closed his eyes briefly, tiredly.
It has nothing to do with your rivalry. The message Gaetano gave him was that they will release Jane in exchange for you.
Oh?
And the data file you have from Astro.
Dan thought swiftly. I suppose they've swiped the copy that Jane had.
Her apartment seemed undisturbed, but no trace of the file was found when the police searched it.
They want me, huh? Nobo answered tautly.
in 48 hours.